Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Stephanie Johnson. Hello, Stephanie.
Well, hello, Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great.
So Stephanie is executive director of the Special Learning Center. The center has some big projects underway right now, and so we thought it might be a great time to just talk about what the future's looking like for the nonprofit. So first, for those who don't know Stephanie, talk a little bit about the history of Special Learning Center and the work that your crew does for community.
Well, back in the 80s, there were two schools in Jefferson City that served children with disabilities, the Peter Pan School and Goshorn School. Okay. And so those two entities worked separate. And it was actually, I've heard that both of these organizations went to United Way for funding. And United Way said, if we fund you, you need to merge into one. And so with that, about 1985, Goshorn and Peter Pan became the Special Learning Center. They merged. And at that time, Debbie Hamler, who we all know and love, was one of the special education teachers at one of the schools. And she almost immediately took the helm as the executive director, where she led that organization up until her retirement in 2020. But in the early 90s, they realized it was time for a new building. And they had actually been working out of a gas station, like a renovated gas station, on East McCarty Street.
All right.
So early 90s, they launched a capital campaign and built the facility that we are currently in on Fairgrounds Road. You know, over the next couple of decades, they ended up expanding that building. And that's where we are today, almost 35 years later. But the Special Learning Center does such an amazing job providing services to children with developmental delays and disabilities. We provide special education classes, particularly for rural school districts.
Okay.
So if you live in Jefferson City or Columbia or a larger area and your child has any delay or disability, there are enough children in those school districts that justify the districts having their own special ed teachers, their own therapist for early childhood. Mm-hmm. But if you are Eugene or Russellville or a little town called Swedenborg, you don't. And so those school districts, 23 of them contract with us.
Okay.
And some of them bus children to us for early childhood special education classrooms, where they not only get education, but we also then provide physical, occupational, and speech therapy as part of the child's IEP. In addition to that, we have a team of about 24 therapists that are actually going to those rural school districts, and they're providing those therapy services to children from pre-K all the way through seniors in high school. So it's really a very comprehensive program. In addition to that, we have a specialized child care program. So we are unique in that we can handle and take children that have special needs in our child care. Not every center has the capacity to take children with certain levels of disability or certain medical complexities. And so we provide that service in our community. We also then have a clinic that's providing physical, occupational, and speech therapy for children. And we bill insurance. So just like you might go to a local outpatient clinic or hospital, we have the same setup, but our physical, occupational, and speech therapists are pediatric specialized.
Okay.
So we serve children in that capacity. And finally, we have a wonderful family support system. We have a department that provides respite, monthly programs for families, educational services, because, you know, it's tough enough to be a new parent.
Sure.
But it's even more difficult when you find out that your child has complications. And so we want to be there for the whole family.
I can imagine the networking, the support system is incredibly valuable to those families.
It truly is. We have a small team that work directly with our families, help them find the resources they need. They also, you know, when kids come into the program, our teachers and our therapists, they can identify needs. And so we have a social worker and an outreach specialist that really works so hard to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the family.
Yeah. So what are your revenue streams? How do you support these services?
So we're very fortunate in that the Special Learning Center has quite a diverse portfolio of revenue. Those contracted school districts, they pay us for services. When we see a child in our clinic, we bill insurance. But beyond that, we lean on our donors. About a third of our $3 million budget comes from United Way, donors, our special events. We write for grants. We're always looking for foundations and entities that are supporting our mission. We don't have to lean 100% on donors, but about $1 million. It's a sizable piece.
Yeah.
You know, when we look at the clinic, for example, and we bill insurance, our therapists work with children in a very intensive model. We have found that it is the most effective for young children. So our therapists are with children for 2 to 3 hours a day, 3 to 4 days a week in a 6 to 8 week period. It's called intensive therapy. We do outpatient as well. But intensive is really a dynamic model with great success. Insurance doesn't always cover that bill.
Right.
Insurance is going to pay us the same whether we see a child for 30 minutes or 3 hours. So we lean on our donors because, you know, in the 3.5 years I've been there, Gary, I have had the privilege of seeing 4- and 5-year-old children walk for the first time in their lives.
Wow.
It's literally like watching a miracle happen.
Yeah.
And you see that coming out of the clinic. So we're not going to stop doing what we're doing because we're not breaking even.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to tell our story out in the community, lean on our friends at United Way to make sure that we can change kids' lives because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. So you're moving.
We are, yes.
So you're moving to Weathered Rock Road. What precipitated that?
So we are packed like sardines on Fairgrounds Road. We have turned every possible closet into an office, and we've turned every office into program space for kids. In fact, this summer, our conference room is now a classroom, and it looks like it will probably stay that way. The need is just beyond the space of where we are. We're landlocked. There's nowhere else to grow. It's kind of always been in the minds of our board members that this was coming, and they've been talking about this for several years. Mm-hmm. And so we were very blessed last year and the year prior to receive funding from the state of Missouri. We received a $3.5 million appropriation from ARPA funds after COVID, and then the following year, they also gave us an additional $4 million. So that $7.5 million was the seed money that we needed to hit the go button on a capital campaign to finish the funding that we needed for a new building. We just need more space.
Yeah.
We knew that we could either build from the ground up or we could find an existing building that we could renovate.
Sure.
I reached out to Greg Bowman, who's one of our volunteers, and said, okay, I have this wish list. Is there a building in Jeff City that is at least 25,000 square feet that is all one level? It needs to be either on the south side or west side of Jeff City. It needs to be close to a main thoroughfare, but not be in a busy area.
Right.
You got anything? And lo and behold, there was actually a building at 905 Weathered Rock Road that checked all the boxes, actually 31,000 square feet. We went and looked at it. It used to be the call center for WePro.
Right.
And so it's pretty empty inside.
Yeah.
It worked. It was owned by the Otke family. So we were able to purchase that building with some of the money we received from the state. John Kehoe and Missy McFerrin have been our campaign co-chairs. The two of them and our board president, Steve Hauser, and I, we've been out raising money. Not only will we be in that building, but we are going to then construct a second annex building next to the main building that will house the clinic and a gymnasium. So it's really giving us not only space to serve all the kids to get rid of those waiting lists, but it also, it's big enough that it will give us some space for growth down the road. We don't want to fill every room on day one.
Yeah.
We want to give ourselves growth opportunities.
Right. So what will these buildings allow you to do that your current setting doesn't allow you to do?
We will be able to, first of all, we look at our childcare department. We receive phone calls every day of families looking for childcare, particularly families that have children with special needs. We are full. We have a massive, in fact, our waiting list is so big, we don't even add to the waiting list anymore. So the new facility will allow us to double the number of children. We will also have a room in this new facility. It's actually called the PPEC room. We've been working with members of our House and Senate to secure some funding for this. PPEC stands for Physician Prescribed Extended Care. There are children who have such medical complexities that are on Medicaid, and a nurse goes into their home and provides either 4 or 8 hours of nursing care just in the home one-on-one. Those children are not receiving any socialization. They are not interacting with peers. They're not getting any education. They just have a nurse that are coming into their home. So this program, and we will have a room dedicated for this program in the new building, where we will actually hire an RN. We will have a nurse on staff who will run this room. We will have anywhere from 4 to 8 children with some major, you know, medical complexities, and then we'll be able to then provide them therapy while they're there. They'll be able to integrate into some of our other childcare rooms to get socialization. You know, the good example that I gave when I testified at committees at the Capitol is we had a mom that called. She has a child with disabilities that we could manage, but this child needed a catheter change every 4 hours. And there is no way that we can do that. Right. You know, that really requires somebody that has, you know, a medical profession. So there's a prime example of a child that needs socialization, needs to be in that setting, but because of that catheter, no one in our town could do that.
Right.
So we will have this room where we can serve children like that. We also will have some extra space. We're going to be starting some autism programs. We are seeing such an increase of children with autism. And of course, the spectrum is so wide and every child is unique in their needs. And so we are really have identified our teachers and our education director are seeing a need that we are bringing in some autism programs at the center. So that will be new to us. Currently, our early childhood special education program is a half-day program, but we've identified that there are some kids that will be going into kindergarten that are on the cusp of not needing specialized services once they get to kindergarten. We just need to pour into them a little bit more.
Right.
So we'll be starting what we call an extended day program for children. And our long-term goal is to provide school beyond that age 2 to 5 to possibly be doing a kindergarten or even first and second grade, because we have some kids that come to us with a lot of complexities. And then they're going to go start kindergarten in their small rural school district, and they may not have the capacity to serve that child.
Yeah.
And so we want to kind of fill the gap and help in some ways that lightens the burden for our contracted school districts, but also then is, at the end of the day, beneficial. Our number one goal is the kids.
Sure.
You know, and to provide something that's best for them. So we'll be able to do that. Having so much dedicated space for our clinic will allow us to serve so many more kids. We'll be able to bring on more therapists. Right now, we've got 7 therapists working through our clinic, and they are trying to work out of just basically two, three rooms. They're so tight. So to be able to spread them out will be just amazing.
Yeah. How many youth do you have that you see?
Organization-wide, including all of the students that we see out in the field, it's over 900 a year.
Wow.
But at the Learning Center currently on Fairgrounds Road, that building has a capacity to have about 100 to 120 kids at any one moment in that building. So we'll be able to double that in our new facility easily. That's what we're really excited about. And it's not just about serving more kids, but the money that we're raising in the Capital campaign is also providing us the resources to bring in some technology and some new state-of-the-art equipment so that we can really be very intentional and elevated in what we do. You know, we want to bring in sensory boards where kids can interact. I'm just amazed by this. Lisa Borgmeyer, who runs our clinic, talks about this, and I'm determined that we're going to find a donor to buy this for us. But it basically is a projector in the ceiling that projects down on the floor. But this projector also has a motion sensor in it. Lisa describes it that like a child in a wheelchair may not have the ability to get down and play in the leaves. When you think about kids playing in leaves. But in this, it would project an image of leaves on the ground. And the child can be on the floor. And when they move their arm across the floor, that motion sensor picks it up. So the leaves move their hand. So you can interact with the images that you're seeing on the ground. And like, that is such incredible technology. And there's so many tools out there. Things where children can learn to communicate with eye gazing. There's a lot. Of course, it's all extremely expensive, but we sure want some of this equipment in our new building because that's game changer, you know, for kids. Our therapists and our teachers, our childcare specialists, our paras, they work so hard with the kids every day. And it's just amazing to see what they can do. And so I think, wow, what if we could put amazing tools in their hands in incredible space? How much more could they be doing for the kids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's your timeline? You broke ground yesterday.
We did. So we were super excited. We named this entire campus after Debbie Hamler. Okay. So it's the Debbie Hamler campus. We'll be calling it Hamler Campus. So we broke ground yesterday, and we will start renovation on the main building rather quickly this summer. And we actually named that building after Mike Bernsketter. He championed the bill that got us the state funding. So it's the Mike Bernsketter Education and Enrichment Center. And so they're going to get started on that. Prost Builders, who is our selected contractor, they're going to get started in July. Shortly thereafter, we will start construction on the therapy center. And actually, Peter and Dana Goldschmidt made a very generous donation. And so it's the Goldschmidt Pediatric Therapy Center. We'll get started on that probably end of summer, late summer. And we intend to open these facilities when school starts August of 25. We know that's a very aggressive timeline.
Quite aggressive,
Stephanie. It's a very aggressive timeline. Yeah. We're very hopeful. Yesterday, Vaughn Prost, the owner of Prost Builders, he got up and said a few words at the groundbreaking ceremony. And he talked about his cousin who was born with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And had there been an agency like the Special Learning Center back when his cousin was younger, it would have changed the outcome of his life.
Yeah.
And so he talked about how Prost Builders has done so many projects in our community, but this one is going to be the most special for him.
Yeah.
And so I think they are very passionate and dedicated about giving us an amazing building, and hopefully we can get it done in that timeline, because we'd love to at least open the school part of Special Learning Center when school starts.
Sure. So the community obviously has quite a history of supporting Special Learning Center. What are some ways the community can help you continue that legacy, to grow that legacy?
Well, we have been so blessed to receive some very generous donations to help us with the construction costs of this project. And where we are now is it's time to fill the classrooms and fill the therapy rooms. So we are looking for those smaller donations just from members in our community that will help us buy the tables and the chairs and the art supplies and all the things that we need to fill our rooms, our therapy rooms and our classrooms. So we encourage anyone in the community that looks to just make a modest donation to please visit our website at speciallearningcenter.com/capital campaign. And that will take you directly to the page where you can be a part of it and help us to kind of get across that finish line for our Small Steps, Mighty Strides capital campaign. And then, of course, we're always looking for volunteers. We're looking for folks just to come to our special events, whether it's eating ribs at our cook-off or our golf tournaments or our perfect pairings in August, just to kind of be a part of it. Like our Facebook page, you know, just stay in touch with what we're doing. It takes an entire team of people, staff, volunteers, donors to make this possible. But I'll tell you, Gary, when you have an opportunity to, whether it's seeing a child walk for the first time, or for some children we have, they will never have the ability to talk. They physically cannot do that. But our speech therapist will work with them and teach them how to use a talking device. And so when you see a child being able to communicate for the first time in their life, expressing their wants and their needs, it's so powerful. You know, you watch kids in the classroom that they come in, and when they start with us, they lack so many skills. And then by the time they graduate our program, they're just doing so well. It's really quite, it's astounding. It's astounding. Yeah. But again, that takes all of us doing our part to make it possible.
Yeah. I think of, you're obviously quite passionate about the purpose and the mission of Special Learning Center. And obviously there are days where it's just hard to get out of bed, right?
Mm.
What's the thing that drives you? What's the story of the person that you saw Special Learning Center's help that just drives home, Stephanie, I get your butt out of bed and get in there and get this working?
Absolutely. Well, there are many of them, but the first one that comes to mind is a little boy named Jackson. My first day on the job, it was October 1, 2020. I had finished a big project at the Boys and Girls Club, and the board of Special Learning Center said, hey, you just built a building over there. Would you like to come over and work with us at Special Learning Center? Debbie Hamler's going to retire. And I was like, that is the greatest honor of my life. I would be honored to come over. So October 1, that was the first day. And I was standing in the lobby to greet the parents and just introduce myself. And a dad opened the door, and this little boy, who was the same age as my grandson at the time, comes wheeling into the lobby in, not in a wheelchair, but what at that time looked to me to be a little blue tractor. And he was smiling and just as cute as he could be. You couldn't help but smile looking at this little guy.
Right.
But I looked at, he couldn't walk. And I thought about my grandson, and it hurt my heart, you know, to see this little guy just wheeling around in this little blue tractor. It was a few months later. I was in the hallway, and he was with Miss Mary, one of our physical therapists at the time, and he was using what's called a gait trainer. It's a walker.
All right.
I said, Jackson, you are walking. And he looked up at me and he said, Miss Stephanie, I have strong legs. And I'll tell you, I fell apart.
Yeah.
I just started crying. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. Then he went from that gait trainer to then what is called a standard walker for children. From that, he went to, they're like canes, but they have large bases for stability. And then from there, he went to single canes, which is what he uses now. But a month or two ago, he stood on our playground independently, completely unaided for the first time in his life. And so in just 3.5 years, this child has gone the evolution of being completely bound in this wheelchair to now standing independently. And with his single stick canes, he gets around and runs and just like anybody else. And he is what pulls me out of bed. He and, oh my gosh, Blake and Abby and Kennedy, so many of them.
Right.
You know, we as adults, you know, we have our, oh, I don't want to get out of bed today. You know, like we have all of these burdens and challenges. But the kids at Special Learning Center, they have far greater challenges and obstacles in front of them than we do. But they come in every day with a smile on their face. And if they can come in every day with a smile on their face and fight and work and overcome, any one of us adults, we can do the same. I mean, they are inspiration. These kids that come to SLC, they're inspiration. They are how all of us need to interact with the world and the people around us. They're positive, they're loving, they're wonderful, and they're so inspiring.
Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much for having us and letting us tell our story. It's an exciting time for Special Learning Center. We encourage our listeners to follow our Facebook page, you know, Special Learning Center. You'll get to see the progress of construction and where we are. And of course, we want the community to come out to our grand opening, which we anticipate to be fall of 25, and just celebrate this huge accomplishment for our community.
We're looking forward to it. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.